church, being, getting what you want. My abbot, who was trained in Thailand, and he loved being in a little bamboo hut in a little sort of forest, a scrub London. And he was sent to London, and he hated it. Well, but he had to go. His master sent him there, and he lived in a little townhouse in Hampstead. And for him, it was a, by English standards, this is a very nice house, but especially by American standards, it was very old and crumbling. There wasn't central heating, and there was a pub across the road with a rock band which used to play when they were meditating. And one day he would go out begging because he wanted to keep up all the traditions. One day he longed to be back in the forest, and he was going up begging. And this little strange young man ran past him in a pink t-shirt and shorts. And this young man took a second look and came back. And the first thing he said to my abbot was, he said, I've got a forest and I'm looking for a trust to manage it. So my abbot said, well, I've got a trust and we're looking for a forest. And in the end, this man sold my abbot, what he more or less gave him a forest for £1, it's worth. Mm. It's 100 acres and it's the most expensive real estate in Sussex, which is just south of London. So, and that was just like the first link in the kind of chain of coincidences, yeah, which led to him finally moving down there. And now, after a long hassle, traditionally you aren't really allowed to build anything in the forest like up in England. There are endless planning rules, but they've just recently got permission to build little huts so monks to live in, just so they can meditate in the forest.
Good.
Cows, you know. Yeah. And their wives, right?
Yeah. But it's a good thing, man, that he was in search of the forest and the fellow was in search of a caretaker for the forest.
Yes.
Erich, when I was here last time, you were telling me how it was impossible for a businessman to be honest, and I was arguing with you, telling you that it was possible for a businessman to be. Tell me again why it's impossible for a businessman to be honest.
Then he won't be able to do the business, if he's honest. Especially in at this time in the world.
Why?
Right. Did you succeed?
Have I succeeded? What do you mean by succeeded?
Have you succeeded in doing business honestly?
Yeah.
That's good. Then what I said was wrong.
Do you mean without ever making mistakes?
No, honest means without depriving anybody else.
Depriving?
Unjustly, justly.
Yeah.
Of their rights and other things, you see, of their money, of their rights.
Well, I can't see how a person could be a follower of Baba's and do it any other way.
Because I have always felt that business is one man's loss and another man's gain is business. That is my definition of business. One man has to lose something. He covets 10,000 rupees from John and there's a bargain to be settled. And at last this business is such that, well, I expect 10,000 from John and John says, no, I'll give you only 5,000. And so the business settlement is done. Whatever it be, 5,000 or 10,000, whatever it be, I lose in the bargain. I have to, 5,000 I have to give, and I am deprived of 5,000 and he gains 5,000. That's my business.
Yeah, but he's deprived, the other one's deprived of the goods he's given him for him for the 5,000.
And if he gives the goods, he is deprived of the goods.
It's a bad to deprive, but bad to also got something for it.
Fair exchange.
You exchange goods for money or services for money or...
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, I don't see where there's cheating. That has to be there.
No, I don't say cheating, honesty.
Why is there dishonesty if you trade one thing for another?
Trade is like that. It always deprives the other. One man's gain is another man's loss.
I heard fair described as when nobody is 100% happy.
Everybody's equally dissatisfied.
People have different evaluations of the wealth of something, so each man might be equally happy.
That's the reason why business continues in spite of it. And it's not continuing, but it multiplies and it, yeah.
it could also mean that a business, you see, there's no fixed income for a businessman. If you start a business, you make a profit of 2,000 rupees, you want to make another still more profit. And that is where you slip, you know.
Get into the grip of avarice.
Yeah.
Content, you lose sight of contentment.
And then you start breaking the rules and regulations and stop being fair or start getting unfair somewhere.
Well, that's one possible road, but that's not inevitable.
Gautama was in business. He made ghee, didn't he make ghee?
That's where Eric came to his conclusion.
That new life ghee, huh?
Yeah. Honesty cannot... means. Either you give up honesty or you give up your business. That is my conclusion. In the ghee business, we had to give up the business. We could not continue with the business being 100% honest. Nobody would buy our products because it was too costly for them to buy. And they said, equal brand is there, it's pure, absolutely pure ghee. And you sell us at 10 rupees more than a pound? It's impossible. How can you buy it?
You could sell it as health food. In America, you put pure on it and you put it in a health food store and people will pay more for it.
Double.
But that is America and New Zealand.
I saw a big sign in Jaipur about some kind of food stuff. And it said it was full of preservatives and huge letters and artificial additives.
That means it'll last more than one day, that's the point of it.
Right.